What kind of yontif is Lag BaOmer exactly? Got my Mr. Brewer. Mr. Brewer?
We have the there's a lot up there. Full set up there. It's a
fourth. And
So Shulchan Aruch says that a Lag BaOmer Noogim shloli stopir ad la megimel omer. Shomrim az paskum milamut. You don't get haircuts until Lag BaOmer, because on that day they stop dying. That's what Chazal tell us. They stop dying. Okay, says the Rama. Ubiyom la megimel marvin bo ktsat simcha. Ve'ein omrim bo tachanim. So on the 33rd day of the Omer, they stopped dying. Who stopped dying? Students of Rabbi Akiva, how many died? 24,000 students died. They stopped dying Lag BaOmer. So it's a day of some type of simcha. What is the simcha here? They stopped dying. What's so joyous? You know, it's also ironic because somebody did die on that day. Rishim Bar Yochai, who was a student of Rabbi Akiva. So the students stopped dying, but Rishim Bar Yochai Rashbi dies on this day, and we celebrate. What exactly is the nature of this type of celebration? What is the big Simcha Lag BaOmer? Question number one. Question number two. What is the connection to this? The fact that they were dying dafka during this period of Sfiras HaOmer, right? Okay, it's during this time. This is when it happened. The Gemara is going to tell us. We're going to see the Gemara in a second, maybe not. But they died during this time. But what is the connection between Pesach and Atzeret dafka during this time? This event happened. Sfiras HaOmer would seem to be an independent mitzvah of the fact that there's mourning, right? You all understand that. We're counting now Sfiras HaOmer. Tonight we counted 29. Okay? Last night was 28. Okay? You with me, Rami? You with me? Is it just coincidence that during this time of year there's also mourning? It should be, L'chor should be a time of simcha, actually. In fact, the Ramban understands this period between Pesach and Atzeres as actually an extended Chol HaMoed. Like you have on Sukkot, you have the Yontif of Sukkot, and then you have Atzeres, Shmini Atzeres. So Ramban says this parallels Pesach and Shavuos, which is called Atzeres. And the days in between are like Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is a day of Simcha. We don't have weddings on Chol HaMoed because Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. We don't want to mix the joy of Chol HaMoed with the joy of a wedding. So really these days should be days of Simcha, and yet they were turned into days of mourning. Is that a coincidence? Is there something specific to these days that dafka during this time this happened? We have in the month of Iyar, ironically, these times of mourning, which turned into mourning, we have during the month of Iyar actually three holidays. And these holidays are very interesting because none of them are mentioned in the Talmud. You look in the Gemara, you're not going to find Yom HaTzmut, Yom Yishalayim, Lag BaOmer. You're not going to find these days mentioned. Even Lag BaOmer is not mentioned in the Talmud. Only later. There are hints to it, maybe. The 33rd Ma'amar. You heard this? The 33rd time Rav Shimon Yochai is mentioned in Shas, it actually falls out on Daf Lamed Gimel in the Sefer Shabbos. Just an interesting thing. But you don't have Lag BaOmer anywhere, and yet you have these three Yom Tovim that don't have a Talmudic source that are very joyous days. Not everyone celebrates them. Not everyone celebrates Yom HaTzmut, I think. Not everybody. Yom Yishalayim, even less, ironically. And Lag BaOmer also except in Israel. You see, in Israel is an amazing thing. We'll talk about it in a second. So, why dafka during this time do these holidays fall out? Why did Hashgacha see to it that this is what during this time when, which creates a conflict? Certainly, Yom HaTzimut creates a conflict with a lot of people. How can you celebrate now? It's a time of mourning. Question number four, which is a question you may have heard before. Hopefully you have, and hopefully you also know the answer to this question. But we're going to ask it anyway. Maybe we won't count it. We'll call it question number four, but we won't count it in the four. And that is, why do we count up and not count down? Right? Remember, we're excited about something, we count down to it. We're counting to Sfiras Omer. That's what the Sefer Chinuch writes. We're counting towards Sfiras Omer, towards Matan Torah. That's the thing we're counting towards. We should be counting down towards Matan Torah. Only 21 days left in Matan Torah. That's the way we should be counting now. Why is it counting up towards Matan Torah? Question number four, which is really five, we'll call it four, is why has the Gula not yet come? Just throw that in there. Why not? And if you want, we'll throw in another question, is why should I come back Shana Bet? Okay, let's see if we can answer all these questions. So some holidays are that we celebrate are just not the same outside Eretz Yisrael. Okay, some holidays some of them you experienced here this year. I'll give you just to name a few. Okay, the way you experienced them here, the way you saw them here, the way you experience them in America does not compare. I don't care where you are in America. I don't care what college campus you're on. I don't care what community you are in, Muncie Borough Park, Hancock Park. I don't care. It's not the same as in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? For example, okay, Sukkot. Can you compare anywhere else in the world to Sukkot here in Israel? No. Pesach. Shavuot, which we haven't yet experienced yet. Can't compare. Dancing down to the Kotel, 1,000 people dominating the Kotel, stay all night. You can't compare. Hanukkah, Purim. Getting the idea, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. You can't compare the experience that you have here in Eretz Yisrael, celebrating those Yom Tovim, to that you had in America. Doesn't compare, it just doesn't. I'm talking spiritually. Maybe you went to a nicer hotel in America, maybe, but it wasn't Pesach the way it was meant to be. I'm sorry, you might have had great guest speakers, you might have had a 24-hour grill going, you might have had a coffee room with quinoa-made sushi the whole time. It wasn't like Pesach. And anyone who was here for Pesach knows what I'm talking about. You can't compare it. So I pity those of you who will not be celebrating these Yom Tov next year in Eretz Yisrael. I feel bad for you. It's reason enough. Come back. But when you come to these holidays, Yom HaTzimut, Yom Yishalayim, and Lag BaOmer, there's nothing to talk about in America when it comes to these days. You're going to celebrate Yom Yishalayim. It's going to be so awesome. I recommend you guys take advantage of everything. Dancing down to the Kotel from Yeshiva America Zarav, if they do it, unless they didn't do it for some reason. But if they do it this Motzei Shabbat, it comes out that's next year. No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking next year already, calendar. If they're doing it, so go do it with them. It's awesome. And then we're gonna have a great time in Malay Zaytim with Ramirez's house night, then dancing again to the Kotel. Or before then, we're going to go to the Kotel from Rav Meir's house, going through East Jerusalem. Hopefully, we'll all make it there. and then you're going to have another tour of Jerusalem, and then from there, you're going to be dancing with the rest of Am Yisrael, waving flags through Shar Shechem back into Jerusalem again with thousands and thousands of kids your age. It's unbelievable. Lag BaOmer in America? It's a joke, right? I mean, what? Like you go to some park near your school, right? The rabbi plays the ninth man song for you. you know, which you're probably not surprised that actually song was about me. Yeah, when I was finally made Aliyah, so I was I just liked the Mets. So, anyways, but the you know the song? Rebbe used to teach us Torah. Okay, you see. Anyway, so you can't compare what you see, what you're going to see here at Lag BaOmer is there's nothing in America that compares to it. It's unbelievable what goes on here. You may have seen already. You've walked through Yerushalayim. You may have seen already on Rehovot HaDivani these large pyres that are being set up, and that's a small one. These teepees of wood, and you see kids throughout, basically from Purim. You notice kids in Yerushalayim that are dragging tree trunks and large pieces of wood. They call them Rav Sodas. You know what a Rav Soda is? A Rav Soda is the favorite Rabbanim of kids are the Rav Sodas. Is that they? It's the when they deliver things in crates in Israel. They don't have crates. They just have, because wood is a very expensive commodity. They just have a sort of a little crate that's this high, and they just stack everything on top of it. So those crates on the bottom made out of wood, those are very precious commodities this time of year. You can probably sell those to kids, little 6-7-year-old kids for, you know, 5 shekels. Whatever they have on them, they'll give you. You'll see them, you'll see what I'm talking about. They're like, they look like little like checkerboards.
Pallets.
What?
Pallets.
What do they call them?
Pallets.
Pallets?
Pallets. Yes.
All right. Anyways, Rav Sodas in Hebrew, the whole you see kids literally chopping down trees, people sitting on benches. All of a sudden, kids unscrewing the benches, and I come in one day and your desk is gone. This is probably some kid probably took this for his bonfire. That's why also in Israel all the youth organizations like B'nai Akiva, Ezra, Ariel, they all get together and they all have these bonfires. That's why they also go on Tu B'Shvat, they all go planting trees, they plant the trees so they can chop them down to burn them on Lag BaOmer. That's the youth of our country. And what's amazing is that everybody celebrates Lag BaOmer. Ask your neighbor, your non-from neighbor who goes to public school, ask him if you've ever heard of Lag BaOmer. He doesn't know what you're talking about. Every single kid in this country, religious, not religious, knows Lag BaOmer, celebrates Lag BaOmer, has a bonfire. Okay? And it's an amazing thing. And you don't, one of the amazing things, you will not see an adult anywhere near these fires. You know what? All the adults they roll down the tree sim, they hermetically shut all the windows because for 24 hours it's just smoke and soot in this country. You know that scene in Schindler's List when they're like all the ashes are dropping? That's Lag BaOmer here. I'm serious. And that's it. The kids are out for the entire night. You don't see them. Parents are hiding under their beds. And then the kids, like, at some point in the morning, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, they come back totally black-faced. You know, all you see is like little whites of their eyes, and they, you know, after spending a whole night throwing things into the fire, everything they throw into the fire, everything you're not allowed to throw in, you know, your deodorants, your everything, boom, boom, boom. That's all you hear all night. That's Lag BaOmer here. In America, it's pathetic. I mean, okay, so you go, you play baseball with your Rebbe. You, if they have a fire, actually have a fire, so you have to get permits from the fire department, right? And the fire truck is set up right between all the children and the fire, and they let you one by one come, not closer than 10 feet from the fire. You have your little hot dog at the end of the stick, and you can wave it in the direction of the fire, and then go back in the line. That's it. In Israel, the kids are in the fire. In the fire. Anyways, so what's it all about? What is this all about, this Lag BaOmer? And why is it unique to Eretz Yisrael? Nobody cares about it outside Eretz Yisrael. So, the Gemara in Yevamos, which talks about, which I don't have, I left it. Gemara in Yevamos says, it's on Samach Bet Amid Bet. The Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva lost 24,000 students during this period of time, during Perek Zman Zeh. And then what did he do? It says, Yared Ledarom, he went south, and then he went and he taught five students. Among those five students was Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He went and he taught another five students. So you know what we are celebrating on Lag BaOmer? Now, in the deeper world, and we're not going to get into this, we're just going to touch on the surface of it. We're celebrating Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. But in the world of Nigla, in the world, the revealed world, the world that we can understand, we're celebrating Rabbi Akiva just as much as we're celebrating Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Because Rabbi Akiva, let's imagine we are Rabbi Akiva for a second. Many of us in the room stood in front of a grave that had 800 children. And we stood over that grave and we cried, we shed tears over that grave. For 800 Jewish children, and you should cry, you cannot leave that place without being welled up with feelings of sadness. Rabbi Akiva, in 32 days, every one of those 32 days, stood over the graves of 800 of his own children. Do the math. 24,000 divided by 32 is about 800. Give or take, right? I'm saying it's a little less than 800, but about 800, correct? 32 days, he lost 24,000 students. Your students are your children. Rabbi Akiva, who taught, "Ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha," ze klal gadol b'Torah. He's the one who taught us. It's a pasuk in the Torah, but he said, "This is our etzem of who we are." Is "Ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha," and they died because shalom nagu kavod ze b'zeh. During this period of time, he lost 24,000 students, 800 funerals a day he went to, and then another day, another 800, another day. His whole life, his whole, everything that he did, everything he stood for, collapsed before his eyes. Could you imagine the devastation for Rabbi Akiva? And so, what happens? On Lag BaOmer, they stop dying. That itself is not reason to celebrate. We don't celebrate the day the Holocaust ended. Well, okay, so 6 million stopped dying in this day. We celebrate? We just crushed. We lost one third of our people. Is that reason to celebrate that they stopped? That should be the default position, that no one's dying. So what is the simcha? The simcha is that Rabbi Akiva went, and though he lost everything and everybody that he taught. We heard today, this morning, he learned for 24 years. Comes back with 24,000 students. And then they all die. His whole life's work is destroyed. And what does he do? He goes, Yared Ledarom, he went to the south, and he goes and he teaches another five students. Despite his loss, he doesn't give up. He knows he has to rebuild the Torah world. And out of those five students, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Rabbi Meir, Stam Mishnik Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon Yochai, those are the greatest Tanayim. Rabbi Akiva and those five students are the greatest Tanaim. What we have, what we have in the Talmud is from Rabbi Akiva and his students. The Mishnayos are almost all from the students of Rabbi Akiva, those five students. He rebuilds the Torah world. That is the great simcha. Is that despite what he lost, he didn't give up and he goes and rebuilds. Is that not the story of the state of Israel? After seeing everything, all the destruction, and we just had Rabbi Leib here, right? Everything that he went to, then he comes here to Eretz Yisrael, and then he fights against all the Arab nations that surround us, who want to just finish off what Hitler didn't finish off. And all we had at that time was 650,000 Jews here. 650,000 Jews in 1948. One-tenth what was lost in the earth. And many of them are Holocaust survivors who have no military training whatsoever, no arms, and miraculously they don't give up. They don't give up. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us a great matana, great present. And from that, those 650,000 Jews in 1948, 66 years ago, we have now over 6.1 million Jews. That is what we celebrate. It's the same celebration. Lag B'Omer Yom Ha'atzmaut. And Yom Yerushalayim is just another step in that direction. Another step closer to rebuilding Yerushalayim. And anyone who's around during that time, 1967, anyone who lived here, they'll tell you, we thought it was it. We thought it was the end. All the nations, all the Arab nations again were threatening to drive us into the sea. They were preparing. I don't know if you guys have been to the big parks in Tel Aviv. Park Ganei Yehoshua is a huge park in the middle of Tel Aviv. They were preparing 10,000 graves in that park. Because they thought they were going to get slaughtered. And then in 6 days, with the help of Rabbi Melvin Lejens, if you remember the story, 6 days, not only did we defeat all our enemies, we have Yerushalayim, we have Hebron, we have Beit Lechem, Yehudim Shomron, Sinai, Golan Heights, country more than doubles in size, more than triples in size. Another step closer to the redemption. Another step closer of those, and many of those people. We had last week here Dov Landau, who fought in 48 after surviving Auschwitz-Birkenau, and then fought again in 56 and fought in 67. Some of those same people. Kodesh Baruch gives another great matana. We are in an unbelievable time that we live in that needs to be appreciated more. We have hundreds of yeshivos like Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin in Eretz Yisrael, the size of it. Maybe not the quality of it. Maybe you don't have people that do 250 blot by heart in the yeshivas that you have today. But in terms of numbers, way more people learning Torah today than you had pre-war in Europe, in Poland, in Lithuania. And if the people that are learning Torah in America, like your older brothers or your parents, or it's because of Eretz Yisrael. It's one of the things that Rav Soloveitchik pointed out many times, is that the growth of Torah in America, or any other country for that matter, the roots of that growth is in Eretz Yisrael. Before 1967, ask your parents this question. Before some of them were just being born then, or your grandparents. But before 1967, people were afraid to wear yarmulkes in America. Nobody wore yarmulkes on Wall Street. Nobody wore yarmulkes in firms. After 1967, there was a resurgence of the Baal Tshuva movement. There was a resurgence of Jewish pride. People felt proud of being a Jew. And yarmulkes came out of people's pockets and went on their heads. So you see, we're part of something. We're building something. We're rebuilding Yerushalayim, ultimately rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. We're not there yet. But this is a process of building. And so why do we count up and not count down? So you may have heard this word, and I hope you have already. And it's one of the most beautiful pieces of the Torah that you'll hear, or you should have heard, if you haven't heard it already. But we have something similar. Rav Pinkus explains this based on a teaching from Rav Aaron Cutler, Zatzal. Rav Aaron Cutler was Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood. Have you heard this? Sound familiar?
Went to last night.
Last night. Excellent. So Rav Aaron Cutler makes a comment, a very, very short comment. I may have even said this early in the year, because it's one of my favorites. He makes a comment on the Pasuk that when Yaakov worked for Rachel, he had to work 7 years for Rachel. And the Pasuk says, "V'hayamim hayu ki yamim achadim de'avoto ota." And the days were like just a few days out of his great love for her. And that's counterintuitive. Does this sound familiar? How many have heard this before? It's counterintuitive. What do you mean the days were like just a few days out of his great love for her? Should be just the opposite. Are you kidding me? If you're getting married in 7 years, or in 7 days, or in 7 weeks, you're getting married to somebody. Right? You love this person. You can't wait to get married to this person. The days that stand between you and that other person to get your wedding day should feel like forever. It should feel like forever. The more you love her, the longer it's going to feel. Right? Some of you are thinking, it's another 20 minutes here. Oh my gosh, it's so long. Right? It takes. You can't wait to get out, to do something. It feels like forever. So how could it be that the Torah says that the days were like just a few days out of his great love for her? It should be just the opposite. So Rav Aaron Cutler says, very, very short statement. He says, "Ki hayamim ha'elu hayu yimei binyan shel klal Yisrael." Because these days were days of building klal Yisrael. What does Rav Cutler mean by that? Days of building klal Yisrael. Is that Yaakov Avinu understood that he's going to marry Rachel, and out of Rachel is going to be the future. He's the Bechir Avos. The Jewish people are going to inform. The Shifteikah are going to come out of Rachel, eventually out of Leah, and Bil and Zilpah. But he thinks right now it's Rachel only, right? The Jewish people are going to come from here. He's going to get married to this person. So these days, these 7 years, are not just 7 years that stand in the way of him and Rachel, but actually 7 years of opportunity to build himself up, to prepare himself to be the father and husband of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people. So, to give you a mashal, this is the mashal that Rav Pinkus gives to explain this. He goes, imagine somebody promises you $10 million in 100 days. 100 days from now, I'm going to give you $10 million. Now, between you and those $10 million stands 100 days. So, for you, it's going to feel like an eternity till you get past those 100 days to those $10 million. You can't wait till it ends. It's driving you crazy. You're going to be able to get anything you want in this world once you get past those 100 days. Those 100 days stand in the way, and that's going to feel like an eternity for you. But if he says to you, I'm going to give you $100 million in 100 days, however, the condition is that you have to work those 100 days. And every day you work, you're going to get $100,000. $100,000 times 100 is? 10 million, good. So you have to work. If you don't come to work that day, you don't get those 100,000. You'll get less. But once you complete those 100 days, you'll get $10 million. So every day is another opportunity to turn $100,000 towards that 10 million. Those days, you're going to wish that they don't end. You wish, you know what, can I work another 100 days? Can I do more? So you see, when it's like that, when you're building up to something, then those days go by so fast. And my friends, if you look back to your year in Israel, where'd it go? Where'd it go? We have a few weeks left. This week is the last week of full learning. Next week, Lag BaOmer. The week after that, Yom HaShemayim, Shavuos. Boom. This is it. Where'd it go? Where'd the whole year go? Last year and the whole 4 years of high school seemed like eternity. Because this year you were involved in real building and growth. And when you're involved in building and growth, then it goes by so fast. Just, where do you go? Shurim that maybe for you was like, how can I sit for 4 to 5 minutes or an hour, go by very quickly? Because you're actually growing and building and understanding and gaining from it. So you see, it's this time period we're building ourselves up from Pesach to Shavuos. We're building ourselves up to celebrate Matan Torah, to prepare ourselves for Matan Torah. So we have to count up. We're not counting down. We're counting up because each day we're adding another element. And my friends, if we haven't started yet, it's not too late. There's still 3 weeks left to Matan Torah. So let's take advantage of those 3 weeks and let's build, continue to build ourselves. Prepare ourselves properly that we can, when it comes to Matan Torah Shavuos, that we are really ready to receive the Torah properly. That we're excited about receiving the Torah again. And then we're going to take it and run with it. We're going to take it and dance with it like we dance now with Birkenau. This is time of building. Rebuilding and building. Building towards receiving the Torah. Building towards rebuilding Yerushalayim. Why hasn't the Gula come yet? After everything that we went through, the Jewish people, whether it was in Europe or in the Arabic countries, it was kicked out and thrown out of Arabic countries under terrible rules, and whether it was in Syria or Iran or wherever we're from, we've all suffered. All of our people have suffered from those countries that we came from. And now we're given the Eretz Yisrael, and most of the Rabbanim believe that this was the beginning of the redemption, and many still do. Haskalat HaDegula. They signed on a letter, I told you about this. The greatest rabbis. There are some who opposed, and many great rabbis who opposed. But there are many great rabbis from even the Haredi world who felt this is Haskalat HaDegula. They signed on a letter that this is the beginning of the redemption. And after 1967, many Rabbanim from the Haredi world felt that we should be saying Hallel, we should be celebrating. How are we not celebrating? It's Kafui Tova. We are in greats if we don't celebrate the miracles that we all experienced. Everyone saw them. Everyone thought that was the end of them. And now we have Yerushalayim. For 19 years they didn't have access to the Kotel. So why hasn't it come? One of the Trisker Magid was one of the great Hasidic rabbis. He was the son of Rav Mordechai of Chernobyl, the Chernobyl dynasty, the Moray Nine. Which all the Tversky's come from this dynasty. That includes, let's say, Skver, Rachman Strifka, Tolna, the Chernobyl, all those rebbes that come from this dynasty. Chernobyl, if you don't know, it's in Ukraine. It's a very radiant place. And it was this dynasty to Trisker Magid. Trisker Magid, he was known to never eat nor sleep. That was what they said about the Trisker Magid. So Rav Baruch HaMezhevish, who is the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, contemporary of the Trisker Magid, he heard about this, what they say of Trisker Magid, and he said, it can't be, it's not possible. It can't be, you don't drink it. How is it. What does it mean, doesn't eat or doesn't drink? So he went, he sent... He sent a letter to the Trisker Magid, and he said, what does this mean, they say about you, they don't eat or drink? So he wrote back to him, he says, I'll tell you. He goes, you know, I don't eat for a few days, and then all of a sudden I realize I haven't eaten, so I'm very hungry, and I go to the kitchen to make myself a sandwich. And while I'm making myself a sandwich, I get so exhausted because I haven't slept that I go to lie down. And then when I go to lie down, I can't fall asleep because I'm so hungry. So I go back to the kitchen. And then I'm so exhausted, I go back to my bed. That's it. Baruch HaMezhevish didn't like jokes. He says, no, tell me the truth. He says, I'll tell you the truth if you come and see me. So Baruch HaMezhevish, who is older and more chashiv, goes to see the Trisker Magid. And he goes to the Trisker Magid, so the Trisker Magid says, I'll tell you the truth. He says, as you know, my father was a very, very special person, Mordechai of Chernobyl. And when I was a young boy, one time he says to me, son, go quickly, get the wagon and horses ready, we're going for a ride. So, got it together, we get on the wagon, we travel, we go deep into the forest. My father says to me, okay, you wait here. And he goes off, and he goes, there's a little house there in the forest. And he goes out, and I see this very special looking man, big beard, very radiant person. And my father enters into the house with him. And then he comes out of the house about half an hour later, and they're both crying. And he says to me, you sure? The man says to my father, you sure? You sure they're not ready? He says, no, sorry, both crying. And they hug each other, and he gets back on the wagon, and we drive off. My father's quiet the whole way, just like sobbing, quiet the whole way. And I'm just too frightened to ask him. My father, what he'd do was, he like every so often, after every few weeks, he'd say, you have any questions, ask. So the next opportunity, I said, Abba, Tati, what was that? What was that when we went that morning, went to think? So he says, well, I'll tell you. That was, the man you saw was Melech HaMashiach. And it's my job to tell him, I have the unfortunate position to tell him if the people are really pining for him to come, if the people are dying for him to come, are wishing that he would come. And unfortunately, I have to tell him the truth. I have to tell the truth. And so, that's what I had to tell him. So the Trisker Magid says to Rav Baruch HaMezhevish, he says, can someone who saw the Mashiach and knows that he was told that we're not ready for him, could you if you were that person, would you be able to eat or sleep? Sils Yesharim in Perek, 19th Perek quotes, we're going to end very shortly. It quotes the Tanit of Eliyahu. And the Tanit of Eliyahu says, anyone who's concerned for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, and he yearns for it, that's his whole life, is concerned for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, he will be Zocha to Ruach HaKodesh. That's Mr. Shem quotes in Perek Yitas. Quotes a ton of Billy Yellow. There's an unbelievable Or HaChaim in last week's Parsha. Or HaChaim HaKadosh in Parsha's Bahar. Pasuk says, Ki Amuch Achicha. Where's Max Fuchter?
There's three of those in the Parsha.
Huh?
There are three of us.
Ooh. Okay, go ahead. Start saying.
Let's say it open up.
Kiyamuch.
Second.
Kiyamuch achichu machar me'achuzah. So vago alo karov yelav gaz mimchar achid. So if your father, if your brother should become lower, becomes poor, and he has to sell his land, his achuzah, his inheritance. So the person who's close to him, bagalo karovi lav, v'gaalas mkarachiv, he should go and redeem that land for his brother. Okay? Parsha is talking about when people, every person is giving an inheritance of the land. Every one of us has, somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, has a dalet amos, at least, has our portion that belongs to us. And we're supposed to keep on, we're supposed to hold on to it. It belongs to us, personally. But if a situation becomes dire, a person has to sell it. So the person who's related to him, his brother, or anyone, any other Jew who's his brother, should make every effort to redeem that, buy back that land for him. Or Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, based on the Kabbalah, he says that the deeper idea here is that it's actually referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki yamuch achicha umachar es achuzaso is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's forced to leave Eretz Yisrael to sell his land. The Jewish people go into Golus. So we have to make every effort. Uba agealo akarov elav, the one who's closest to him has to come and try to redeem the land. And make every effort to return the land to his brother. His brother being a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, it's up to the tzaddikim of the generation to arouse the rest of the nation and ask them the question, are you okay not eating at the table of the king? Meaning, you're alright living in America? You're okay not being a state of Golus? It's okay for you? I'm alright. I'm good. Is that the right answer? It's the job of the tzaddikim, those who are close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to awaken the people in the world, awaken the Jewish people, and say, this is not the proper situation for us. This is Gehenna for us. It could be 24-hour barbecue going in any hotel in Arizona, in Florida, what have you. But you're in Gehenna. You're in Gehenna because you are not at the table of the king. And that's not a proper state of affairs. And we should have a burning desire for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the honor of Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, to want to change that. We have a Kabbalah from the Vilna Gaon that the greatest thing a Jew can do is to live in Eretz Yisrael and study Torah. Especially Torah Sanista. which none of you have done this year, so you have to come back Shana Bet. Final Nakuda, hopefully we've answered our question. And there's a professor, his name is Avi Revnitsky. He's a very interesting guy, very good, popular on Israeli TV. Had a tragic accident, actually, and as far as I know, is no longer, he used to be on TV all the time. A religious guy, but, you know, very forward-thinking person. Very interesting person. Unfortunately, he's not well. He has not been well in 10 years. He was in a car accident. But I once heard him on Israeli TV. He said his son, a very precocious kind of kid, asked him, "Who do you like better? Do you like better your chiloni tank driver?" He was in Shiryon in Israel, in Israeli. The guy who was your driver, and then we get together every year. This group was in the Ford in 1973. Whatever, in this whole time we get together, and there's a chiloni guy. Do you like him, your chiloni tank driver, better than a Satmar Chassid from Williamsburg, or even from Yerushalayim? Doesn't really make a difference. Who do you like better? So he's very, very smart guy. He says, "Come on, that's like asking who do you like better, your Abba or your Ima? You know, I love them both. They're both Jews. I love them both." But the son was smarter. He said, no, Abba. Come on, answer the question. So he said, "I'll tell you." Rav Soloveitchik, in that article, Kol Dor Dido Fake, which you, if you haven't read it yet, you should read it. It's one of the most important essays written in the last 60, 70 years, since the state, former state of Israel. Rabbi David spoke about it last week. He said, Rav Soloveitchik is machalik between the Brit Goral and the Brit Ye'ud. Between the covenant of fate and the covenant of destiny. He said, with my chiloni tank driver friend, we share a common fate, a common goral. We had a lot of very difficult times together, and we share a common fate. But with the Satmar Chassid, I share a common destiny. And that is greater. Common destiny is greater. As we share eternity. We can all celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut, Lag BaOmer, Yom Yerushalayim, leading up, building up to Matan Torah. Because it is about a common destiny, ultimately. It is our future. We will all end up here in Eretz Yisrael. Sooner or later, we're all going to end up here. Better sooner than later. Better by choice than by force. But Israel is our destiny and Yerushalayim is our future. Every day we express, three times a day, facing Yerushalayim, facing the Makom HaMikdash, and we say V'sechazena einenu b'shuncha v'tzion v'rachamim. So we celebrate that we're one step closer to our destiny. We celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim, Lag BaOmer. We're one step closer to our destiny. And it doesn't make a difference whether you're a Satmar Chassid in Williamsburg or you are a Torah Shrag alumnus in NYU, or you are a soldier, an elite commando unit here in Israel. If you live your life with a focus that I am part of the building of the Jewish people and the Beit HaMikdash, that I am unsatisfied until I return to the table of the king, to the palace of the king. I'm committed to sanctify God's name in this world then you have every reason to celebrate these days, no matter where you are. As Rabbi Rudolf said in Treblinka, we do not need more Jews to die, the Jewish people. We need more Jews to live, to rebuild Yerushalayim. We need you to be part of the destiny, future destiny of the Jewish people. Have a good evening. There's vibe. There's vibe tonight.